Praise the Lord. Like I said, it's an honor and privilege to be able to minister to you this morning. Like I said, Mom and Dad take a little time off. They'll be back, well, Sunday night for the lights on, Wednesday night for the lights on celebration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for each and every person that's here in this auditorium and watching us live on the internet. But Father God, we just thank you right now for their lives. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for them, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. And Father, we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father God, we thank you. We'll take that word, and we'll not just take it lightly, but it'll be life changing to us. But Father God, help us to go out and share that word with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, as we minister today, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and helps us to be able to minister with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of God that's here present this morning. And Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, today is kind of a special day. I haven't been working on my message for a long time because I didn't really have a whole lot of notice. Dad let me know a few days ago that I'd be ministering. And he said, you know, son, it is Thanksgiving, so I think you should minister on Thanksgiving. But you can minister on whatever you want to, obviously. But today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving shouldn't be just reserved for Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. But we should, you know, understand why we have Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is not just about turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and watching the Dallas Cowboys hopefully win a ball game. You know, and hanging out with family and friends and those kind of things. But it's about a lot more. Just to kind of give you a little history lesson for some of you that may or may not know. I mean, you know, it just seems today our younger generation doesn't know a lot of the history. Or maybe you're not from this country and don't understand some of the history that we have. And, of course, the first Thanksgiving, occurred in 1621, we don't know exactly what time or what the date really was, but if any of you know the history of United States of America, in September 6, 1620, the pilgrims left out, actually they left Plymouth, England, on their way to the New World, all right, and you know, for over 2 months, it took them to get here, and they had some hard times going. Some people died during that time. There were 102 pilgrims who came to America. Some of you were actually, one of the ways I learned about this was, anyone remember Schoolhouse Rock when we were kids or whatever? Or when I was a kid, maybe you weren't a kid, maybe you're an adult watching, I don't know. We learned about that, but you know, they arrived in Massachusetts in November, they actually called the place that they arrived Plymouth Rock or Plymouth, Massachusetts, and so that's where they arrived. And then, you know, they really weren't prepared for the winter time, and during that winter, many of them got sick, and they lost about half the pilgrims during that time. But you know, they also made friends with some Native Americans who were there, and they helped them learn how to plant a crop. Here in the United States and with the kind of soil they had in those areas, and they had a great harvest. And when they had that great harvest, they decided to have a three-day feast, celebration to thank God for their harvest. You know, in spite of all the things that they had to overcome, God gave them a wonderful harvest, and they were able to have a wonderful meal. And there was about 50 pilgrims, because half of them died, during the wintertime. And so there were about 90 Native Americans that joined them. You know, but so that was the original Thanksgiving, and that's why, you know, we some of you dress up as pilgrims and Native Americans, you know, as kids or whatever, and do those kind of arts and crafts. But, you know, but it kind of goes on to, in 1789, George Washington, he said that he issued a proclamation that, on this one, he said that the first day of Thanksgiving to God, it was actually the first part of, I think it was actually the first Thursday in November, was a celebration day for the Thanksgiving to God under the new Constitution. You know, the thanking God for everything that he's brought him through during the Revolutionary War and those kind of things. And then a few other presidents followed suit with President Washington's Thanksgiving Day thing, but then it kind of went away. Some states had it, some states didn't. But President Abraham Lincoln decided in the middle of the Civil War to proclaim a national holiday of Thanksgiving. And here's what he said. He says, he proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So it sounds like a Christian kind of thing, right? All right. I know that some, there's separation of church and state, that kind of thing. But this was to honor God. Amen. To honor God. I mean, President Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday to honor God. Amen. You know, that's why we are one. It's called One Nation Under God. You know, and we do have In God We Trust, encrusted on our money. You know, because we are one nation under God. That's what we were founded upon. And so Thanksgiving is a national holiday to honor God. And no one can tell you any different. That was the origin. You know, but even though he made it a national holiday, I guess at that point in time, every president had to also keep honoring that. It wasn't until Congress finally in 1941 made it an official holiday, and actually official holiday from then on. Then every president didn't have to come and say, yeah, we're gonna continue on, but every president did all the way to 1941. In 1941 they moved it to the fourth Thursday in November, and it continued to be a time to honor God and to give thanks for what God has done for us. So, you know, when you think about it, really, when it comes to holidays, Thanksgiving is probably the most religious holiday we have. Yeah. You know, some people think, well, Christmas might be, you know, a religious holiday because the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, but the purpose of Christmas, you know, is to honor that Jesus Christ was born. It's Jesus' birthday, you know, and that's good. But you know, at Christmas time, we weren't told it was a time to give thanks for Jesus. Now, many of us do, but Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks to God, all right? Then Easter is not really even a national holiday. You realize that's on a Sunday, and Good Friday is, honored. I think the banks are closed, and some things are closed, but not everything's closed. All right, it's not even a national holiday. And you know, not only is Thanksgiving a national holiday, you get 2 days off. Yes. Now, some of you don't because you work in the mall and other retail environments. You know, some of you don't even get Thursday off. You know, so praise God anyhow. But you know what? Praise God for the money. You can thank God for additional money because you worked additional hours. You know, the other people did not work. And so, but, you know, you get 2 days off, which is kind of amazing because you realize that you get Black Friday off, but some of you don't get Good Friday off. Right. So some of you, Black Friday is gooder than Good Friday because you get it off. But, I mean, you know, it's a national holiday to honor God. I mean, think, you know, what shows forth a more godly nation than that? You know, many times people have been, said, there's many things that are different, but you know what? It's about honoring God. And you know, but so many times we have honored the turkey more than honored God. Bunch of turkeys. You know, a lot of times Thanksgiving, it's more about turkey than it is God. It's you know, we think more about stuffing ourselves. And speaking of turkey and dressing and all that kind of, you know, stuff, just want to let you know what the original Thanksgiving meal was. Many of you want to know. You know, Mrs. Butterball made the original Thanksgiving meal. No, she didn't. Actually, original Thanksgiving meal contained turkey, waterfowl, venison, fish, lobster, clams, berries, fruit, pumpkin, and squash. That's why I always have lobster and clams every Thanksgiving dinner. Obviously, don't. But you have to understand, you know, think where they were. They were there, you know, Massachusetts area, and they have some good lobster and clams, you know, and probably have some clam chowder and, I mean, you know, traditional Thanksgiving stuff. You know, but it's just kind of amazing that a lot of other things get, you know, that went away, but kind of turkey became the main part. And actually, that was really more in part by the people who raised turkeys, and it was more of a marketing type thing that happened a long time ago. Because really, you know, you can thank God no matter what you eat, or you can thank God every time you eat, or some of you can just thank God you actually have food to eat. You know, and actually at the original Thanksgiving dinner, they were thanking God and they're saying, you know, we know that every year we won't have a harvest like this, but you know what, we want to thank God anyway. And they continued to have these Thanksgiving festivals, continue to honor God, whether they had a good harvest or a bad harvest, it didn't matter. They want to thank God anyhow. You know, because there's some years that doesn't seem to be as good as other years, but you know what, we thank God no matter what. And but traditionally now we have turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and all the usual fish, you know, fixings that you're used to. But, you know, Thanksgiving should be more than turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie. Because it wasn't meant to be turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie. It was meant to honor God. It was meant to thank God. But you know what? It also is sad that sometimes the only time that we actually even thank God is at Thanksgiving. And, you know, maybe there's a few other times. You know, I know that some of you obviously will, you know, sing songs of Thanksgiving as we're praising and worshiping God. But, you know, a lot of times when we sing those songs, we're not really giving Thanksgiving to God. Sometimes people are. But a lot of times we're just singing a song because everybody else is singing the song, and we're just singing the words. And it happens all the time because, you see, people sing a song with words, you know, and they're singing at church, and then they go home going through a problem that they were just singing about how big their God was and how great their God was, and he can, you know, can handle those problems for you, but you didn't know that because you didn't really know what you were singing because you were just following everybody else. And so a lot of times when it comes and we actually are having Thanksgiving time with God, we're not even thanking God. We're just singing words, we're saying words, you know, and it's the same way. I mean, I know we have, you know, our offering prayer that we have, you know, but a lot of people say the offering prayer just doesn't say the prayer because it's what we're supposed to do. But it's more than, it's supposed to mean something when we say these things. You know, every time I think about Thanksgiving, I think about a story back in the Bible during Jesus's time, Luke chapter 17. There's a story that happened to Jesus, and kind of describes probably what I think about most Christians today. Luke 17, starting with verse number 11, says, "Now it happened, as he, being Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Or I always like to say, "Jesus, help us." You know, they're crying out for help. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." So as they went on their way to show themselves to the priest, so meaning if they would have said, "I guess I'm not really healed, I can't show myself to the priest because they'll think I'm an idiot because I'm not healed." But as they started going their way to the priest, they were healed. You know, that's, you know, we have to sometimes just take a step Amen. And that's it's not really talking about faith today. We're talking about Thanksgiving. It says, so when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So this guy wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. You realize Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. All right. And, you know, you do realize that Jews didn't really think very highly of Samaritans. You realize this was the guy who probably, you know, wouldn't actually be the most likely to come and give thanks. But he was the most thankful. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So 1 out of 10 came back and gave thanks to Jesus. Now, I'm here to make a bold statement that I believe that that same ratio probably remains today, that about 1 out of every 10 Christians probably come back and thank the Lord when he blesses them. The other 9 start asking for more. You know, and I might be wrong on that, you know, because, you know, I haven't read a Gallup poll or any kind of other poll. I'm just going off Craig's, you know, thinking, so maybe I'm thinking is wrong. But I know that it's very common that we don't thank God for things that have happened. You know, I believe that if anyone should be thankful, it should be us. To understand what we have through Jesus Christ, to understand what's happened in our life because of Jesus. I mean, you know, it should make us more thankful. But, you know, a lot of times that we're too busy griping that we don't have enough time to thank God. You know, a lot of times it's we're going through this and we're going through that, and so we just don't have time to thank God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 says this, says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Then verse 6 is really what I want to get to. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. So it says, you know what? Even when we're asking for things, we should be thankful for what he's done for us. That we should ask with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean here that you should only ask at Thanksgiving. All right? It says you should ask with thanksgiving. The New Living Translation says it this, you know, this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You know, it's interesting. After the part it says, thank him for all he's done, then the next sentence says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, we should be more thankful to God for what he's done. And like I said, you know, that was the whole origin of Thanksgiving, was to be thankful to God for how, you know, for what he's done for us. Or for them there. You know, it wasn't about, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians, or Native Americans, if you want to say. You know, although they were the ones who offered up their Thanksgiving feast, but it was they're offering up a Thanksgiving feast to give honor and glory to God. You know, and sometimes, even when we have our own Thanksgiving dinners or you know, when we're celebrating Thanksgiving, we thank God. We're thankful for each other. And it's okay to be thankful for each other. Also, be thankful for your brothers and sisters. But a lot of times we're more talking about being thankful for each other than we're talking about being thankful to God. The original Thanksgiving was to be thankful to God, not each other. Now, as we all together thank God, so we're all together in unison, we're all in unity and harmony, which is hard to do, and sometimes he said, you've never been to my house on Thanksgiving. But you know what? It's a time to be thankful to God. You know, and some people get mad and say, well, I don't have much to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. In fact, I mean, you know, you realize the poorest person in America has a lot to be thankful for when you compare it to worldwide poverty. You know, a lot of times I've heard, you know, people say, well, you know, when people say that they're broke, said you don't even know broke. I mean, you know, people in America are broke. Well, they just didn't have enough money in bank accounts at the end of their month, and they had a little bit of a problem. But some people, their definition of broke is not eating for 3 days, not having any clothing to wear, and they're not on a survival show, naked and afraid. I mean, they just don't have clothing because they can't afford it, or they don't. I mean, you know, they're living in the wilderness because, and you know, they don't have. You know, it's not like that they. We grab because our, even when, let's say something happens like our, you know, our heater goes out or air conditioner goes out, and that's miserable, but a lot of people live without heat and air conditioning. And some of you lived before heat and air conditioning was around. You know, and you're definitely, you know, the only air conditioner was you fanning yourself or whatever, so, you know, or electricity, and people kind of take things for granted sometimes, you know. Running water, all that stuff. That's why when people always ask me, you know, what day and age would you like to live in? If you could pick any time in history, now. You know, and I didn't have it that bad. I probably, one of the worst parts of, about my childhood was being the original remote control. I mean, that was probably, you know, and only having five channels. Well, no, actually, that wasn't the five-channel part. You know what was the part is the VHS. I mean, so we've had VHS and UHF. You know, the other channels you had to like turn. There were like 80 channels, nothing on, and you have to keep turning them around or whatever. Actually, I think there's 40 of them. But you know, then your mom getting mad at you because you're sitting too close to the TV. You know, because getting too close to the TV might get cancer. You remember hearing those kind of things. I said, yeah, but do you want to watch another channel or not? I mean, what do you want to do? Because I don't like getting up and down, and since I'm the youngest one, I have to get up and down all the time. And actually, I need the least exercise at that time. You know, I mean, they needed more exercise than I did, but, you know, at that time. But I was the original remote control. But, you know, what if, hey, we at least had a TV. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times we gripe about things, but we don't realize the alternative. You know, like I said, there was a time I had a black and white TV in my room, but I had TV in my room. And then God blessed us with another TV downstairs. And so the downstairs big console TV, you know, the old one that the tube was kind of going out, that ended up in my room. So I had, you know, I had a big screen TV in my room. Well, it was more big wood TV with a screen in the middle of it. You know. Anyone remember those console TVs? You know what? And the unfortunate part was, I got a video game called Pong, and it wasn't black and white anyway, so it didn't matter whether it had a color TV. Anyone remember Pong? Pong was before Atari came out, where you had a joystick, and one button. Which was a whole lot simpler because now video games, you have all these buttons, and you have buttons here and buttons there and buttons on your down here, and you can't figure out what the buttons do. And then someone tells you, well, if you have this button, it's an extra. I didn't know that button even existed. I didn't know there was a button on the controller. I couldn't even see it. You know, and the kids today complain, man, well, I don't have anything to do. I only have 48 games. And have high-speed internet, and 500 channels on my TV, but I'm bored. Well, you go black and white with a black and white TV and Pong and see how much fun you have. But you know, that wasn't that bad, really. You know, but a lot of people have a lot worse. So you know what? As you're griping about yourself, you know, be more thankful because there's so many people who have it a whole lot worse than you do. You know, over I missed the wrong one. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says this. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't say giving thanks sometimes. It says giving thanks always. Now, if you're giving thanks always, I'm here to tell you that it's always not going good. Right. Sometimes there's days that are not really good, but you know what? We be thankful no matter what. Doesn't matter what's going on. You know, just be thankful. Just be thankful. I think we as Americans need to be more thankful. Not just thankful to God for the benefits that we have. I mean, not only as Christians, but benefits we have as living in a free country. To worship God as we please, you know. And it's interesting, you don't think about these kind of things until you go to other countries where they can't worship God as they please. Or, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, over in China, they really, it's not so much that they don't like Christians or that they don't trust any kind of meeting where a bunch of people get together. You know, they don't like that. And so really when they have any kind of meeting, you know, it's all more reading the Bible. They don't have a lot of praise and worship time because, you know, they want to get in and get out. They want to get over with before somebody comes in and gets mad. And so it was interesting. We were there at Rhema, Hong Kong, and we brought over a lot of our graduates from Rhema, China. And Gary Crowell, you know, he said, you know, he said, let's just let them worship God a little more because, you know what, they don't get to do this back there. And so it was so amazing. You can see they're so thankful to be able to worship God. You know, we take it for granted. You know, we take it for granted. You know, but many people are living today in countries where it's not, you know, you can't do that. You can't worship God in public. You know, there's a lot of oppression and things like that. But you know what? It's a time to be more worshipful. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Says this, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. So it's God's will for us to always give thanks. The New Living Translation says it this way, it says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. All means all. All means everything that's going on. You know, and sometimes we have to be thankful in spite of what's going on. You know what? God's a good God anyway. You know, maybe things aren't as good for you this year as they were last year, but you know what? Thank God anyway, and thank God that next year is going to be better. You know, put out a goal to shoot for. Instead of keep griping about, you know, what you don't have. Talking about what God wants to give you. Amen. You know, because he wants to bless us. Remember, talk about offering time. Exceedingly abundantly, more than we ask or think. That's what God's will is, to bless us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? If we don't thank God for what we have, why does he want to give us any more? I mean, you know, some of us, we're so selfish. We're so selfish. Like I said, we have it better than a lot of people in the world. And we're griping about what we don't have. Now, I'm not saying that you have everything. You know, but what you do have is the name of Jesus. Remember, Peter and John says, such as I have, give I thee. Well, you already have what they have, and what you have is you have the answer to everything that you need. So it, regardless of what things are going on, you have the answer to make it better. You have the answer to make things better, and all you have to do is invoke the answer. You know, whenever they say, is this your final answer? Yes, it's Jesus Christ, my final answer. The final answer, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. The final answer is Jesus. Yes. You know, I have the final, so I can thank God for the final answer because it was God who provided that answer to me. Remember, for God so loved the world. that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. See, God loved us so much, he gave us Jesus. And for nothing else to thank God for, thank God because Jesus came. Because he died, because he rose again, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I mean, you know, it's all about Jesus. All about what he's done. And we need to understand that, you know, not just this coming Thursday, but every day, all your life, we need to be more thankful. I believe, you know, I think that every day when we wake up and during our morning devotional time or what, you know, we even if you don't have morning devotional time, whenever you wake up, we should just thank God that we woke up. And instead of griping about it, because many of us do, you know, tomorrow's going to be Monday. So, you know, so somebody say, yeah, I'm going to have a blue Monday because you claim it. You can have what you say you can have. You know, usually most of the time people wake up and say, I'm so tired. You know, and then after that, you'll say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But you're not, but you don't rejoice and be glad in it. You just said a word because your mom or your dad or someone taught you to do that when you were a kid, and you go to work griping and complaining, and you go home griping and complaining, and all you have is griping and complaining. And but you know, you're going to have what you say you can have. Yes, you know, we have to thank God regardless. I mean, just thank God that you know, for a wonderful day. You know what? Thanking God is, you know, just thank God that I'm going to have a great day today. It's another opportunity to have another great day. Another opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. Another opportunity to share Christ with somebody. You know, because we have the answer. Every answer that we need, we already have, and we can thank God for it. Because Jesus is the answer. And it's so amazing. We live in a world that's so amazing that we can celebrate our God, that our government gave us a national holiday to thank God. So we should thank God for them. You know, it's not just about turkey and dressing and missing work and sales at, you know, at the mall, but it's about thanking God for everything he has provided, but thanking God for what he will provide. And thanking God, not only that he provided Jesus, that's the answer to all our situations. I want to leave off today with something that happened this week. This week was a major historic TV moment that many of you might have missed. On a national show contest called The Voice, and guys, you can come up and get ready. Anyone seen The Voice? You know, with Adam Levine and Blake Shelton and I guess Pharrell. And Gwen Stefani right now is the judges. Anyway, on that, there was a young man that's competing this year, has a wonderful voice. His name is Jordan Smith. And this week's song that he picked to sing was a song that all of us know, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Right there on national TV. Not only was he singing on national TV, it hit iTunes number one song this week. For most of the week, it was iTunes number one song by some guy that nobody knows, really, till this season of The Voice. No one knows this Jordan Smith guy. He comes out and sings an old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, and one of them, I can't remember, I think it might have been Adam Levine, one of the judges said, you know, he said, you know, remember, this come on the heels of all these Paris attacks and all these bombings and all these, you know, things going on, tragic things going on in the world. And he's like, you know what? Thank you. We needed that. That in spite of what's going on in the world, in spite of all the problems and troubles and trials and stuff you might personally be going through, great is thy faithfulness. You know, and you could tell by the judges there, you know, I don't know, you know, really where they're at with Christ, but every one of them had roots. They all knew that song. And I really, and because it became iTunes number one song, it seems that America really is one nation under God, because really when it comes down to something, they reach for God. I mean, a song about God, you know, being, you know, great is thy faithfulness. You know, and I really think that Thanksgiving and really the very first Thanksgiving was about thanking God that in spite of all the troubles that they had, coming to a new land and all the situations happened where, you understand, half the people who came died. That means if you got on the boat, you had a 50% chance of not being there the next year. Now, they didn't know that when they got on the boat, they probably wouldn't have got on the boat, just like people wouldn't have got on the Titanic if they know that it was going to sink. Understand that. But the fact of the matter is they got on the boat and they faced a lot of trials, a lot of adversities and a lot of things. But you know what? Ultimately, God blessed them with a great harvest. And they thank God for it. And so this song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, really kind of tells us that, you know what? God is great no matter what. He's with us no matter what. He helps us no matter what. He's standing with us. And so I want them to go ahead and sing. I want you to listen to the words and then you can join on. Go ahead, Rich. And
great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Come on, let's sing it again. Great is thy faithfulness. Great.
Seems like, you know, you're not going to get through. I want you to remember, great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Our God always, always, always causes us to triumph in every situation. You know, things aren't always easy. We live in a world that's messed up a lot. But praise God, our God's always faithful. God's always faithful. And you know, and I encourage you, if you get the time, you know, you can go to Google. If you just go, great is thy faithfulness, you can pull up the video version, or you can download the song. But you know, it's just awesome to watch a TV moment like that. And I think, you know, especially a week that's, you know, of course right before Thanksgiving, and you know, a lot of things going on. And but you know, this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving and every day, we need to thank God for his faithfulness. He's always faithful. He's always just. He always provides. And maybe there's not days, you know, maybe it seems to be a bad day. It's not, you know, it seems like you don't have anything to be thankful for, but you can thank God that he's always faithful. Thank God that he gave us Jesus, and we have the answer. And we can make it through any situation, any circumstance, any time, because of our faithful God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. You love us so much, and you care about us so much, and you're with us. No matter what we're going through, you're always there. You're always there to help us, lend a helping hand, and to be there in every time. And Father God, help us to be more thankful in our daily walk. Help us to always rejoice, always give thanks. Help it not to be just a Thanksgiving time, but help us also understand on the day that we celebrate Thanksgiving, to help teach our kids that this is a day that our government has given us to honor God and to thank God for what he's done for us. And help us to be more thankful for what we have. Help us to be more thankful for what you've provided through Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you if anyone is here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this morning that they'll make him Lord and Savior of their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I've never been saved. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life. And I want to this morning. I want to turn my life over to God. Lift your hand right now. We want to minister to you. If that's you, you're here. You're here in this place and you've never been saved. You've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior and you want to this morning. Lift your hand. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, you know what? On a morning like this, I just want to rededicate my life to God again. I want to come back home. I want to, you know, man, I've kind of been away for a while, but this will be a great time to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you want to rededicate your life, lift your hand across the auditorium. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. But I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know, maybe you've been afraid because you don't, this tongue thing kind of scares you or whatever, but I tell you, it's an extra endowment from power from on high. It's a wonderful experience. And man, it might be the step that you needed. So if you've never been filled with the Spirit, I want to urge you this morning to lift your hand. Let us pray with you. We want to make sure you get that gift that belongs to you. So if you're here this morning and never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, I want to invite you. You know, maybe you didn't lift your hand, but just come on down here. Just come on down here. We want to minister to you. Just want to minister to you. So anyone here that wants to be saved, or wants to rededicate their life to God, or wants to be filled with the Spirit, come on down here. Go ahead and sing if you give people opportunity.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
I didn't see any hands, but if there's anyone here that wants to come down here, just come on down. Because you know, a lot of times God's speaking to us and we're afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. I'll tell you what, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you in your life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I guess everyone here is saved, but Father God, we thank you if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, that they will not have any kind of peace whatsoever until they come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.